read here from John chapter 20 and verse 19. I'm going to read about four verses here. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them, Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. When he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Amen. Now, when I say we all need to be busy in the work of the Lord, I think that a lot of times people, a lot of good Christian people, they are so busy. Busy with their family, busy with their job, busy with the just day-to-day responsibility, that we think that all of that activity and all of that busyness it qualifies as all that we need to be doing. Now, I do believe your family is a part of ministry. I'm not suggesting that what you do in your home or your family, that isn't vital and that we are not called to fulfill that role in the family. It's very, very important. But I also believe we need to take it a step further and understand that great joy and great fulfillment comes whenever we step out to do something for God that we've never done before. Amen. Step out to do something for God that you have never done before. So just being busy with a lot of activity, that does not necessarily mean, that's no real excuse for not fulfilling a particular call that God may have upon your life. I believe that God calls preachers, he calls pastors and evangelists and missionaries. He also calls Sunday school teachers. He calls those that are doing evangelism and bus ministry and outreach and on and on. A great list of possibilities, jail ministry and whatever that it might be. But to be actively involved in doing something for God. Amen. Doing a work from the Lord. Someone said, when we describe worldliness, we think of, worldliness is just taking on all the things of the world and being like the world, and that's a part of it. Someone defined worldliness this way. Worldliness is human activity with God left out. Wow, that's pretty accurate. Busyness with God left out. I think that it's possible that all of us can get very, very busy with a lot of different things, and it's just a lot of activity. And is not really finding the call and the place, leaving God out and God's will out and his call out of the picture. That's just another aspect of worldliness, because God isn't the center of what you are doing. Now, in the text that we read here in John chapter 20, these disciples, they are literally paralyzed by fear. Have you ever been so afraid that you couldn't hardly even move? Have you? Have you ever been just literally so paralyzed by fear? That's where they were. They were locked into a room. They were afraid for their lives. And if you can contrast that with this same group of disciples just a little while later in the book of Acts, and they're stepping out, they're preaching the gospel. Many of them are giving their lives, they're martyrs. For the gospel's sake, it's almost as if that they've had an infusion of courage and boldness into their life. And that's truly what had happened to them. And so they're so fearful that they are stopped dead in their tracks. They can't do anything. You know, the Bible says fear is a terrible, terrible thing. Remember the apostle, Brother James Snow last week, he talked a little bit about God did not give us the spirit of fear, but instead power. So that means God isn't the source of it. So we know where it comes from. The enemy of your soul, the enemy of your victory is the source of that spirit of fear. Fear is not from God. Amen. So whenever the prospect of you being used of the Lord, one of the first thing that fear says is, I could never do that. I could never do that. I just can't. That's way beyond my ability. I could never step out and do that kind of a work. 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. You know, the enemy uses fear against the people of God. Good people with great potential, great ability, but somehow fear gets a hold of our heart and we're just like those disciples. It's like we're locked in a room and we can't do what the Lord would have us to do. Now, I know, I understand we live in a world, it's a fearful world. There's so many things going on in our world today that it is sometimes challenging, and you could almost get fearful over some of the things that we need to do to step out and to reach the world. We've got to go out there where they are and take the gospel to them. Amen. That's what we're called to do. That's our calling, our responsibility. But instead, we just get paralyzed by fear. Now, what can change that? What can change that in your life? What can change that in your work or your ministry that God has called you to do? What will bring a change to that? I want you to notice that the doors are locked. They're held in this room. But the doors locked and the walls don't stop Jesus. He just supernaturally appears in that room that's so filled with fear. And so I really think that it starts with Christ Jesus being the center of your life and just welcoming Him to come in to take charge. And just the knowledge that Jesus is with you just drives away all of that fear. To know that He is with you. I remember I was a little kid, little bitty guy. And I don't know how little, but probably maybe a preschooler, or I was very little. But I would have these times in the night where I'd just get afraid. I don't know why. I'd wake up afraid. And I can remember laying there in fear in that bed. And then I would hear my dad cough or clear his throat down the hallway. All that fear would just leave because I knew Dad's in the house. He's going to take care of it. If there's any trouble, any problem, the fear just left. Just the knowledge that He was there. Just the knowledge that Jesus is with you when you step out to do something for the Lord should drive away all of that fear that holds you back and stops you, literally paralyzes you from being able to do what you need to do or what you have been called to do. Notice this verse. That they're assembled for fear of the Jews. Jesus came and stood in the midst, and He said unto them, peace be still. I don't have any doubt that some of these same disciples had been out on that boat in the middle of that storm, thinking that they were going to perish, waking Jesus up, and Him just standing up and just speaking those few little words, peace, be still. They remembered that. And when Jesus spoke those words, peace be unto you. Jesus is here. He's miraculously come into this room. His presence is here. And it's a reality. And it just drives away all of the fear. Praise God. Amen. We should always welcome the presence of the Lord into everything that we're doing. And when we step out to go out on bus route or whatever ministry, we need to ask the Lord, Lord, go with us. Go with us. Be with us. We need Your presence. We need You, Lord, to be glorified in this situation. Amen. Now we live in a world that we have been called to reach them, but for the most part, the world is opposing. It's antagonistic toward the things of God. They're not really interested. Oh, there are some that are, but a large majority of people that we come in contact with reaching out to our community, we'll find lots of people who they're just opposed and not interested in the things of God. But you know that Jesus, he not only left us in this world for a purpose. We are here in this world. Of course, the Bible describes the fact that we are to be salt, we are to be light in the world, we're to be this righteous, godly influence in the world. We need to be demonstrating the love of Jesus Christ. The gospel needs to be going forth. We need to live out the truth before the world. Jesus, in John chapter 17, prayed a prayer. And this was a prayer for the church. You need to read over it sometime. I'm just going to give you a few of these verses here. But read over this prayer that Jesus prayed. And by the way, he continues to pray. He still is at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. Amen. He ever liveth. This is his priority. This is what Jesus is involved in right now. He ever liveth to make intercession for us. He is at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for the saints. He's praying for you. So this is not the only prayer. He continues to pray this similar prayer. John 17, 15. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world. Now that would have been the easiest thing, wouldn't it? The easiest thing if we had a different doctrine, and that was that whenever we get saved, we just immediately go to heaven. Wouldn't that be something? If we just get saved and go straight to heaven. I remember when we were pastoring out in Oklahoma, we were having trouble with the baptistry. We couldn't get it all fixed. Baptistries are like that, and we worked on it, and someone that worked on it had it wired wrong, and so. Whenever I was, I went up to feel of the water to see if it was warm enough for the baptizing that night. And when I did, I felt little tinglies in my arm, electricity in my arm. So we canceled the baptizing. And I called this guy that I knew that had worked on it. I said, you're going to have to come back. I said, because if we would have baptized that person tonight, they would have got saved, baptized, and went to heaven all in one night. And what a disaster that would have been. Let me tell you, Jesus takes care of people who reach out, who step out to do something for the Lord. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. Amen. Someone said, not isolated, insulated. Amen. We can't isolate ourselves from the world. We can't step away and say, I'm not going to have anything to do with the world. But we don't want to be like them. We need to be insulated from the world. We don't become like them, but yet we're doing what Jesus has called us. He didn't take us out of the world, but he left us in the world, and he prayed, keep them from the world. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And then notice this verse. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. Amen. So a part of that prayer was, keep them from the evil. Separate them from the evil. Don't let them be influenced or to become like the world, but instead, don't isolate them, insulate them, and then send them forth in the power of the Spirit. Amen. Touching people and ministering to people in their need. That was the prayer of Jesus for the church. Whenever Jesus stepped into that room, First of all, they saw it was supernatural because he came into a locked room. He supernaturally entered the room. And then he declared peace into that room. And then in the next verse, he shows them the wounds in his hands and his side and confirms the fact, I'm really Jesus, the one who has won the victory over death, hell, and the grave. I'm Jesus. I'm the one. And the Bible says that when they saw that, then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. And it just means when they really realized this is Jesus that's here, then all the fear was gone. They knew that there was power that was sufficient for whatever task that they were called to do. Amen. Luke 10 and 17. Remember the 70 that were sent out to declare and to preach the kingdom of God? We sent them out two by two. That group of 70, it says in Luke 10 and 17 that they came back. They returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Amen. Step out. Step out and do something for God. If you're locked away in a little room full of fear and you say, I can't do that. I could never teach, or I could never witness to people. I could never invite somebody to church. I could never, and you can complete the sentence. Whatever ministry that the Lord has put upon your heart and the possibility of you being involved in it, step out. Amen. Don't let fear control you. Don't let fear stop you. Don't let the lies of the enemy stop you from being what the Lord has called you to be. He's with you. He's declared peace over the situation, and he has conquered death. Then were the disciples glad. Oh, they were so relieved. They were so glad. Jesus is here, and this is him. He's with us. And from that, they were able then to go forth and to be what the Lord had called them to be. Notice these 70 that whenever they came back to the Lord, they said, the devils are subject unto us. And he said to them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Is that verse ever made you curious? I've read it lots of times, but this verse is a revelation of the fact that Jesus, he sees beyond what's going on in the natural world. He sees into the spirit world. And he saw that as they went forth proclaiming the kingdom of God, that the power of Satan was so destroyed that Jesus said, I saw Satan and the works of Satan. I saw that fall from heaven. It was like a streak of lightning that went down. Because you went forth in the power of the Spirit. I gave you power over demonic spirits. And whenever you went forth, I saw the devil fall like lightning. Praise God. Hallelujah. I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Amen. When you go forth to do the work of the Lord, when you step out in faith to do something for God, you can have the assurance that the Lord is with you. You can have the assurance that he's praying for you. You can have the assurance that he has given to you power and authority over the enemy. Praise God. I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions. For those, you know, in the mountains who believe in handling serpents and snakes, it's a stretch. As far as when you look at the Bible, it's a far stretch. Because whenever I see things like this, I see that they were treading on the scorpions. When I see accounts like the shipwreck on the Apostle Paul. That serpent came out of that bunch of wood that he had, and it got a hold of his hand. He didn't hold on to it. The Bible says he shook it off in the fire. Amen. Power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. You know the safest place to be? Right in the center of the will of God. That's the safest place to be. Doing what the Lord calls you to do. And it may take you into dangerous places. He may lead you into situations where it maybe even your life would be in jeopardy. It's possible that the Lord could lead you in places like that, but that's the safest place to be in this world, in the will of God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Then Jesus, verse 21. Then said Jesus unto them, peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. Just like I was sent into this world to bring hope and salvation, now I'm going to dispatch you, and I'm going to deputize you, and you're going to go forth and do what I have done, and even greater things that I have done, because I go to the Father. Amen. Given us power over the enemy. My Father, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Amen. We are sent of the Lord, and we are empowered by the Spirit. These same fearful disciples locked in a room, afraid for their life, in just a matter of weeks. You can see them in the book of Acts, and they're going forth with boldness and power. And the Lord is with them, and they're carrying the gospel, and the church is growing and advancing, and God is moving because they are fulfilling the call of God, and they're doing what the Lord would have them to do. Amen. Don't be afraid to step out for God. Amen. Don't be afraid to step out for God. He'll be with you. Not only will he deliver you from that fear, but he will give you peace. And you will have the assurance that he's praying for you. He is interceding for you. His supernatural power and peace is with you, and his presence is with you, and you're going to go forth and do what the Lord has called you to do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't be afraid to do what the Lord is calling you to do. Let's pray. Stand with me if you would. Oh, we thank you, Lord. Lord, that you have put your hand upon each one of us in this place. And we know, Lord, that once we are born again, once we become sons of God, that we are also, Lord, called. And we have a position, we have a responsibility, Lord, to fulfill. Help us to step into that. Help us to do what you're asking us to do. And even if it goes beyond what we're comfortable with, even if it seems something like a challenge that's too big for us, Lord, when you call us, and you equip us, you go with us, you pray for us, you deliver us from the fear, and you give us victory. Nothing will be able to hinder or stop. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for your presence.